Welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, and trying to raise my children in the world but not of it, standing a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, wanting to make an impact on the world out there, and yet, at the same time, not wanting to get contaminated by the world. Now, this is a delicate balance to maintain, my friends, something that all of us are challenged by. And I want to make an important distinction right now before we get on with the program today. Now, we're against certain systems on this program. Occasionally, we bring up some systems that we're against. We don't like the system. And yet, at the same time, sometimes there are people in the system that we really appreciate. And that's, I think, in a balance we got to maintain. There are people within the system that sometimes don't represent the system, and yet they're in the system. For example, we take issue with the President of the United States from time to time on this show, a president that does not subscribe to the laws of God as the standard for ethics. Well, at the same time, sometimes people out there say, well, but I associate myself with the President of the United States, and so therefore you're condemning me. Well, that's not true. We're not condemning all Americans just because we're condemning one particular person. Well, sometimes we'll condemn a particular person who's got a certain color of skin. We have people writing to us and say, well, you're condemning me because you're condemning this person, and I happen to share the same color of skin with this person. No, we're not doing that at all. We're condemning that person for their particular violations of the laws of God. Moreover, sometimes we come up against the public schools. All right, there are public schools out there, it turns out, that do not stand for the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And we take issue with that. We've got a problem with that. If you're trying to disseminate knowledge and wisdom, but you're not going to do it with the foundation of knowledge and wisdom being the fear of God, we're going to take issue with that. We're going to say that system is corrupt, and yet there are people within that system, as in the public schools, that are good people. We grant that there are some teachers in those public schools that are decent people. We would be against King Ahab's system. King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings that has ever lived, and was killing the prophets of Yahweh back in the Old Testament, and yet there was a guy who worked for King Ahab named Obadiah. We're not against Obadiah, okay? We're against King Ahab's systems, and we're against his whole system, his religious political system, but we're not against Obadiah, who happened to be working for King Ahab and protecting many of the prophets of Yahweh in the process. We're against Social Security at some points, and yet there are people taking Social Security. We're not against those people, all right? We're against communism, and we're against the communist countries that are run by communists, and yet you're a Christian. And yet there are Christians working in those communist systems. I pay taxes that kill babies. I don't like paying taxes. I don't like participating in this system where they're using my tax monies to kill babies. But I'm not voting for people who say, I want your tax monies to kill babies. I'm not going to vote for that guy. Okay, so there's this distinction here, a very important distinction between being in the world and not of it. And Dave, this is a balance that's difficult to maintain. Now, there are billions of people caught up inextricably in these ungodly systems. And when we condemn the systems, it doesn't mean we are condemning all of the people somehow inextricably bound up in those systems.
We have to understand who we are for. It's not just what we're against, it's what we're for. And we are for the kingdom of God, and where the empire of men is opposed to that, we're going to oppose the empire of men. But we live inside the empire of men, advancing the kingdom of God. So that's the balance that you speak of.
Yeah, being in the world but not of it, it's tricky, my friends. It's very tricky. And I'm not saying we're establishing the right balance, the perfect balance. We're fighting for the balance. But it's very important that every Christian understands that the world out there is fairly contaminated. There are points at which you have got to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And the salt sometimes has lost its savor, so you better go get some more salt before you get out there and start trying to impact the world. And I'm afraid that's what's happened with Christians today. For example, this is a Christian broadcast. That means we're not Marxists, we're not existentialists, we're not utilitarians, we don't believe in Muslim law, we believe in God's law. We subscribe to the laws of God laid down over 3,000 years of revelation, from Abraham all the way to Jesus. Okay, you've got God bringing his law. That is the way he wants us to live our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our governments, in our economic systems. God has laid down his moral statutes by which we are going to be living the law of God in life, and hopefully somehow interacting with this world, but doing so in a righteous and holy way. Well, at the same time, you've got a lot of Christians, I think, that are being synthesized into the system. And because they will not receive the law of God as the standard, they wind up very much synthesized in the system. Example, Barack Obama, the most pro-infanticide candidate ever to run for president of the United States. I mean, he is unabashedly pro-infanticide, pro-abortion. One of the very first thing he does when he gets into to be president of the United States, for the very, very first thing that he does as president of the United States, is he signs off on government money to fund the killing of as many babies as he can internationally. Internationally, okay? George W. Bush had stopped the killing of babies internationally, but Barack Obama was so committed to the task of killing babies internationally, within hours of taking the presidency, he's signing off money to fund killing babies internationally. He's a rabid baby killer. I mean, he is so committed to this. I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody this committed to killing babies, Dave.
Well, it was one of his very first executive orders. The first day he takes office, I'm not even sure if it was after the legitimate oath or after the second oath of office, he issues an executive order to start killing babies. That's how excited. He couldn't wait to start killing babies. This was job one for the man.
All right, but what do you do with the Christians who voted for Barack Obama? There are professing Christians out there advocating killing babies. I mean, and this is, I believe, one of the most defining moral issues of the day, folks. And there are defining issues of the day. There's nothing as evil as the killing of babies, as far as I'm concerned. As you look at the reasons why God has taken down huge empires, pagan empires, pagan countries through the Old Testament and through the New Testament, you find that the two reasons why God comes out against these various countries is because, number one, they were involved in the shedding of innocent blood, and number two, they were involved in homosexuality. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. You find nations destroyed by God. Just do a study of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the prophets talking about Edom, talking about Tyre and Sidon, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason God comes out against nations in Old and New Testament, and by the way, in the New Testament, he holds nations even more accountable than in the Old Testament. He commands people everywhere to repent, and whereas he winked at some of that stuff in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, you find that he destroyed nations for things like the killing of the innocents and homosexuality. And these are precisely the things that Barack Obama, as the representative of our heathen pagan nation, advocates with everything that he's got. In fact, as soon as he had signed off on the international funding of killing of babies, he runs out and establishes his homosexual agenda and starts talking about what he's going to do with homosexuality in the military. All right, so that's what's happening with our president. Yet you have these Christians out there that are advocating this man, or getting behind this man, supporting this man, and voted for this man among evangelicals, what, 30 to 35%? Among Catholics, it was 53 to 47% were voting for the most pro-infanticide, pro-abortion candidate ever to run for president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very evil thing. And the killing of babies, probably the most evil thing I can think of. I mean, it's more evil than kidnapping and slavery and war. I mean, people have come against George W. Bush for getting involved in war. Well, I'm sorry, but the Bible doesn't say war is the number one problem. The number one problem is the killing of the innocents, especially the widow and the orphan. You find that in Exodus chapter 21 and 22. If you read the Word of God, you're going to find that God is dead set against the killing of the orphan, and that's what's happening. And the funding of the killing of the orphan is happening by means of government funding in our country today. So it's even more evil than littering and pollution. And I know that's hard for the liberals to receive, but the shedding of innocent blood is even more evil than littering. Now, it's true. Now, let's say one more thing here, Dave. It's true that George W. Bush didn't do everything he could to stop the murder of the innocents. We know that. We know that. And yet, at least people had the impression that he was pro-life, because he said he was pro-life. But that was something Barack Obama never said. Barack Obama said, I'm for abortion. I'm for infanticide. I'm for the killing of the innocents. I'm against the Born Alive bill in the Illinois legislature. If a baby is born alive in that abortuary, I say let it die. The man stood up, and he is blatantly pro-abortion. There was no question in anybody's mind what this man's position was as far as the killing of the innocents was concerned. And, okay, George W. Bush might not have been perfect, but at least he stood up, and he might have deceived some people about this. And so I'm not saying
that it was right to vote for George W. Bush. I'm just saying there might have been some people out there deceived about his position, but not so with Barack Obama. He at least was honest concerning his position on infanticide and abortion. And his records spoke, I think, very strongly and very consistently for his position on the killing of the innocents. And yet, Dave, what do you do with people, Christians, I'm talking about Christians, in Christian churches? I bet you there are Christians in Southern Baptist churches, evangelical churches, Catholic churches, obviously, 5743, that voted for the most pro-infanticide candidate ever to run for president of the United States. I mean, that's a lot of blood on the hands of these evangelicals and these Catholics that voted for Barack Obama. It blows me away, Dave. It just blows me away. This is the salient moral issue of the day.
Well, it's the issue that matters most to God. God really thinks this is his big issue. He also thinks homosexuality is a big issue, which is why we sometimes take that one up. He also thinks adultery is a big issue, too, by the way, and lying and some other things. I think one of the bigger problems that we have here is the church, the evangelical church and the Catholic church, apparently, the salt has lost its flavor. And it ain't got much in its favor, not in terms of building the kingdom. They have let the ACLU cower them into a position where what God says is only for Sunday. And the rest of the week is separate. We have this wall of separation, and we can't talk about God's kingdom as it applies to the civil magistrate. Well, who said that? Somebody who wasn't building God's kingdom, that's for sure. That was the ACLU. We need to establish God's kingdom on every square inch of territory in this globe, and every institution. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we actually mean, thy kingdom come. And the church refuses to take a stand, refuses to say it's God's kingdom when we actually practice and enforce his laws. And they're not teaching that to their people because they're afraid. They're afraid of losing their tax status. They're afraid of somebody making fun of them. They're afraid of Barney Frank talking about them.
They're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Churches are irrelevant if they cannot stand up on the most critical issue of the day, where existentialism, self-centered materialism has gotten so out of hand, that people are willing to kill their own babies by 50 million in this country. And there are presidents of the United States that will stand up and say, I'm for the killing of babies that are born alive. I support that. Ladies and gentlemen, if the church can't stand up at a point like that, it will never stand up. It's as bad as advocating child sacrifice in the days of King Ahab and Baal worship. It's like advocating temple prostitution in the days of the Babylonian Empire, or advocating the killing of Christians and the slaves in the Roman Colosseums. Okay? I mean, let's say there were some Christians who said, we want to kill slaves. We think this whole entertainment thing where you kill the slaves and kill the Christians in the Colosseums are a really good thing. You think Christian churches would have tolerated that kind of orthopraxy or orthodoxy in the churches in AD 300? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like advocating slave trade in the days of Wilberforce. All right, anybody who's going to stand up and say, I'm okay with abortion and infanticide and all the existentialistic convenience abortion, convenience sex, convenience whatever in a postmodern age. I'm just that relativistic, and I'm okay with all of my Catholic congregants running out and voting for Barack Obama. At that point, Dave, I think it's the church is completely irrelevant. It's no longer a church. Don't even treat it like a church. Don't even treat it like a church. Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk about what to do. What do we do? What do we do with churches, with people in the Christian church that are standing up and saying, I'm for the most evil thing that is happening in the postmodern age, the killing of the innocents. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio Program is a ministry of generations with vision. where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Folks, back on Generations today, talking about a very, very serious issue, and perhaps a controversial issue, but it's important because it defines our faith. Now, we're trying to broadcast at a time where the faith, family, and freedoms are just disappearing big time in the postmodern whirlwind, the hurricane that is destroying all these things in our day. And I'm trying to salvage something for my children, my grandchildren, something of the faith. And when you've got Christians, evangelical Christians, by 30-35%, and you've got Roman Catholics, 53% of Roman Catholics voting for the most pro-infanticide candidate ever to run for president of the United States, who is committed to the destruction of the innocents. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd say you're in a day where the church is no longer defined by a moral issue, by any moral issue whatsoever. Not a single moral issue. And Dave, I think we've been a little sardonic at points when we've said, so what's next? When we begin to advocate as a society incest and bestiality and human sacrifice, you're going to have Christian churches right there with them, right behind them, advocating all of these things. But at some point, I believe the church has got to stand up and say, it's just not right to do this. And if you've got somebody in your church who's voted for Barack Obama as President of the United States, I think it's time that you exercise some church discipline. Now, obviously a church cannot exercise church discipline in the 1 Corinthians 5 way unless they have already taught these people these things. So it is important. I think it is important to teach these things. And a lot of churches haven't taught about infanticide and what the Bible says about abortion from Exodus 21 and Exodus 22 and the Psalms, Psalm 139, where David talks about himself being knit together in his mother's womb, and in Psalm 22, where David says, I trusted in God while I was in my mother's womb, and so forth and so on. The personhood of the child is not really being taught, and the sanctity of human life is not really taught, and the laws of God are not really presented in these churches. And so, as it turns out, people can wind up basically taking any moral position whatsoever, and the church, of course, becomes incredibly irrelevant.
Well, you had a candidate who ran on a platform of stealing, redistributing wealth. I mean, the bill right now that they're arguing, this stimulus, so-called stimulus package, is really just about stealing. It's taking money from one person and giving it to another person, a more favored person, in order to stimulate something. I'm not sure what it's stimulating, but the Bible calls that stealing. And that's what it calls that, and you started out talking about Ahab. Ahab was well known for stealing a vineyard.
As well as killing, and
Baal worship and some other things. But he was a great thief, used the power of government to steal. We have a man who ran on the platform of killing. He ran on the platform of killing babies, and he ran on the platform of adultery. In fact, one of the worst, most abominable forms of adultery, homosexuality, which he is a big advocate of. And so you got to wonder, when somebody in your congregation says, I want to vote for Obama, are you really at all concerned about advancing the kingdom of God? Are you only about the empire of men that will oppose God?
You're anti-Christ at that point. Why? Because Christ said that anybody who teaches somebody to forget the least of the commandments of the Old Testament, he'll be considered least in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus condemned the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15 for not supporting the laws of God that said, honor your father and mother, and if a man curses mother and father, he should be put to death. Jesus says, you have made these commandments of none effect by your traditions. He condemned the Pharisees for undermining the ethical import of the law of God from the Old Testament. And so you have the laws of God established, and you have people out there who want to break the laws of God in the most egregious manner possible. And Dave, I think you got to look these guys in the eye and say, you have no part in our fellowship. We got to excommunicate. We got to disfellowship these people in accordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you got people that are advocating incest, as that man did in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you got men advocating the killing of Christians in the stadiums or the slave trade in the times of William Wilberforce, the salient moral issue of the day, when you have people in the church that will not stand up for the laws of God on the most important, relevant, and egregious issues, sins of the day, I'd say it's time to start excommunicating, disfellowshipping. I'm not going to be worshiping with these people. And if there are churches out there, let's say there are local churches. Now, we're not saying every single evangelical church or every single Southern Baptist church or even every single Catholic church is standing up and saying 53-47 Catholics voting for Barack Obama. Yay, that's wonderful. If you got priests or pastors saying that, I'd say cut those local dioceses or cut those local churches out. Whether it be in Ephesus or Thyatira or Laodicea or what have you, if you got a local church that is standing up for the murder of the innocents and voting for Barack Obama, I'd say you cut that church out of your fellowship. You don't allow that church to have any kind of fellowship with you, and do not consider it to be a true church of Jesus Christ. A synagogue of Satan? Maybe. But certainly not a church of Christ.
And we would assume that Christ has already removed the candlestick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
And
you're referring to Revelation chapter 2 and 3.
Right. The Christ no longer considers them in fellowship with him. Now, you take the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church has made a stand publicly against abortion, and yet 57% of their congregants voted for abortion. Well, what do you do? Well, the Catholic Church has a problem. One is they've taken an official stand against abortion, and two, they've officially supported pro-abortion candidates. They continue to support Kennedy. They continue to support Nancy Pelosi. They continue to support John Kerry. Some of the most pro-abortion candidates are Roman Catholic and have not been disciplined, have not been publicly admonished, have not been chastised. What do you say about that? Well, your actions and your words are not in agreement.
I say it's a shame. I say, yeah, if they've got a little orthodoxy and there's no orthopraxy, then it's faith without works. And faith without works is dead, being alone. That's James. And I thought the Catholic Church actually agreed with James at one point, but I guess they don't anymore. but it's because, Dave, they're not preaching the law of God. And there are very few people, evangelical, Catholic, what have you. It's hard to find anybody who's standing up and saying, by the way, sin is defined as the breaking of the law of God. And if you have broken the law of God, you go to the cross of Christ and receive his forgiveness. And then you love God enough to start keeping his commandments. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's the gospel. But I'm afraid they're not teaching the law of God on either side of the cross. On the one side where they got to repent of their sins. On the other side where they got to love Christ enough to start keeping his commandments. I'm not sure that teaching the laws of God at all, Dave, and I think there's a lot of gutless people out there, priests, pastors, what have you, that are refusing to stand up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, starting with the standards of God's holy law, because that's where they're going to be convicted of their sins and driven to Christ for salvation.
And unfortunately, a great number of the so-called Christians who voted for Barack Obama come from inner city, what we might call black churches. Churches with a large black population, because they saw the man as being black. He's half black. His dad was black. And they voted for him. Yeah, and yet they voted for the very thing that's killing their people.
And as it turns out, the Bible, biblical law, doesn't even recognize skin color. It's non-racist at all. It doesn't even pay any attention to skin color. And we shouldn't have churches that are identified by skin color. That's ridiculous. We shouldn't have our white churches. We shouldn't have our black churches. That's ridiculous. We should be people who are identified not by color, but by the character of the heart, by our allegiance to the law of God, by our love for Christ and his law and willingness to serve our Lord and obey his commandments. I'd say those are ways in which we ought to define ourselves. Well, Dave, there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of churches out there, they're going to say, hey, if we started preaching the way you guys preach on this radio program, we would lose half our church. If we stood up against the Roman games where they're killing the slaves and the Christians in the Colosseums, if we stood up against infanticide and abortion or the slave trade or what have you, we would lose half our church. We would be unpopular. Well, welcome to the crowd. Welcome to the crowd. Yeah. It's not cool to oppose the materialistic world, the convenience abortion, convenience sex, convenience whatever, arbitrary ethical postmodern system. Yeah, it's really unpopular. But welcome to the crowd. Jesus was a little unpopular too, as I recall.
Yeah, you might lose half your church.
Yeah.
Or half your membership, yeah. I might say. But you got to weigh that against having the millstone treatment.
Yeah, teaching
the little ones to disobey the law of God. And, you know, as long as I'm picking on groups of people, because I already picked on the Catholics and the inner city churches, the broad evangelical church, see, doesn't have the moral authority to stand on this issue. Because, now I'm not playing moral equivalence here, but because 51% of evangelicals are divorced. If, and God says in Malachi, I hate divorce. So if the majority of the people are doing and abiding and unrepenting of the very thing that God hates, what stand can they make against abortion or stealing or adultery? They're already swimming in their antinomianism.
Yeah. Which means against God's law. And David, the minute you start talking about God's law, you know people are going to come back and say, you guys are just being legalistic again. See, there they are. Generations Broadcast. And Dave, you know, this is probably the most controversial program that we're going to air this year. And we're going to get some feedback, and it's not all going to be positive. And you know, hey, welcome to the crowd, I guess. Yeah, we're going to be unpopular for this program, too. But when it really comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to subscribe to his laws. And if you're going to be legalistic, it's just a question of which law you're subscribed to. If you're going to be a humanist, an atheist, and a Marxist, and you're going to take on those law systems, then those are your law systems. And I believe that's a form of legalism. All we're saying is that we ought to establish ethics by the standard of God's law. And we don't believe you're going to save. You're going to be saved by keeping God's law. You're going to be saved by being convicted of your sins, being driven to Christ for forgiveness for your sins, and then you walk away from the cross loving Christ because he first loved you and he shed his blood for those sins, and you're going to love him so much that you're going to start keeping his commandments and not voting for Barack Obama and encouraging infanticide and abortion in America. That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, very simply stated. And I hope there are some people listening right now that are going to be convicted by their sins. And they're going to say, you know what? I've been a little too materialistic myself. I have gone for convenient sex. I have gone for convenient abortion. I have said, big deal. We're aborting 50 million babies. So what? At least we're doing it for convenience. But you know what? I don't feel that way anymore. I'm beginning to think God's law is convicting me of my sins, of living for myself, and casting the orphan and the widow aside and allowing the orphans to be aborted by the millions. And I think it's time now for me to start standing up for the orphan. I think it's time for me to start embracing the laws of God. You know what? A guy like that will be willing to repent of his sins and come to the cross of Christ. Jesus will forgive him. He'll come away from that forgiven and loving God with his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And David, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he'll start defining his life more and more by the commandments of God. And that's a Christian.
And Kevin, that's so key. We discipline people in the church in order to bring them to repentance and fellowship with Christ. We don't do it to punish them. Punishment's the next life. We do it so they can avoid the punishment. The church needs to take on the character of Ambrose, who stood on the church steps and said to the emperor, "You shall not pass for what you have done until you repent." We need to have that kind of courage once again.
And he eventually repented of that sin, and he was brought back into the church because he was repentant, and he repented of the sins that he had committed in the killing of innocents. And I hope there will be lots of people. May God work in the heart of Barack Obama as well. And that man will one day repent of his standing up against the laws of God and promoting infanticide and abortion and homosexuality and some of the most egregious sins ever promoted in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this radio program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. I hope you will join us again next time as we raise up a standard and lay down a vision for the next generation.